Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We're here live tonight, and well, I'm not used to doing video on Monday, so I'm running a little bit behind here, y'all. So, I think that I may have to cut that off. All right, y'all, give me a minute here. I haven't ever done this before exactly like this. But here we go. Make sure to turn your audio off, please. I can hear what's going on there. All right, we got Mr. Marari on here. Dr. Marari on here somewhere.
Yes. Evening.
You got to mute your audio. All right, Dr. Marari, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Good. I think we're on radio. I've never done this on my time all time. There you are. You look great.
Oh, you too. You look great. Long time.
Well, I don't know what's going on. The studio is not coming in. I can't do video at the same time. I may have changed something here. You look great.
Okay. Maybe we just do one thing. We just do the video.
I don't know. I think we're fine. I think I got the audio fixed. But the reason we have most of our people listening to this by radio, so I don't do my video show. Can you see me right now?
Okay.
I'm trying to do this here. Give me just a moment here, please. All right.
You want to deal with this like that?
Are y'all familiar with Facebook and Zoom than I am? Can you tell me how to get my... how to get it going on here? Wow. Because all I see is that. Okay, that's not working. I don't know why that's not, it's not working. But anyway, that works. I guess that'd be fine. All right, I don't know if you can see me or not.
I don't see you, but you see me.
Okay, there we go.
Oh, yeah,
I have my other studio on, but this is, I guess the palm trees make us look like we're chilling out a little bit here on the board. Hey, everybody, this is my brother. I just got to meet him by phone not long ago, a few months ago, and just fell in love with him in the spirit, just a precious brother. And Dr. Marari, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Dr. Robert Mawiri, I am the chairman of WRNO Radio. It's a shortwave radio. We reach the whole 10:40 window. Most of the world, 8 o'clock p.m., 8 o'clock in the morning, every day. That's our prime ministry, is reaching the unreached people groups in distant villages, just reaching them with the good news and giving them the hope. These are people, they are defenseless, nameless, and God has given us a burden to reach them with the gospel. And that's what we do at WNO. And then, of course, we're here to talk about my passion, which is Israel, the Jewish people.
Yeah.
And I've been involved in Israel for the last 40 years. Built a leading smart city in Israel, brought the Russian Jews, the scientists from Greengrad to Israel. And we have a beautiful city that is now the leading smart city in the world because we brought all the nuclear scientists from Russia to Israel.
Wow.
And so that has been a wonderful assignment from God that has been blessed.
Yeah.
The miracles that we experienced, when you bless Israel, you are blessed. I mean, there is
That's
nothing
true.
More exciting than that. Just when we stepped into that, God just began to open things and begin to do the miraculous. Maybe
yeah.
one of the greatest testimony I could give to open up is how I became engaged with Benjamin Netanyahu and Mayor Ron Nachman in the building of the city. Well, I was meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu and Mayor Ron Nachman, and Bibi is an incredible, amazing guy, super smart. He said to me, "Okay, Robert, you Christians, you come every piece of tabernacle, you march in our streets, you wave the flags of Israel, and you say, we love you, we love you, and then you fly away."
Yeah.
And you said, "We Jews have no faith, but we are here dying, waiting for your Messiah. And if that's not faith, I don't know what to do." And so
right.
for 40 years, we watched you come and march in our streets and say, "We love you," and you have never done anything to build the nation in preparation for your Messiah. You know what
wow.
I say about people like you? This is the first Jewish word, Hebrew word I learned. You are paka paka. Paka paka. That's blah, blah, blah. You are blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
We watch you march in our streets. We no longer take you serious. We thought you'd work with us and build the nation in anticipation of the Messiah. And he said, "I want you to work with Mayor Ron Nachman to build a little smart city for the Jewish people. Bring the Jewish people from Russia. The doors are just open. Bring them and build a city for them. It will be a smart city because you're going to bring smart people." So I said, "I'm always, come be here. What a privilege. I'm ready to go." Well, I did not know what I was saying.
Yeah.
You know, I was committing myself to something that I'd never done before. Didn't know what were the expectations. So when I flew back from Israel, Mayor Ron Nachman calls me and says, "Robert, you're my partner. So your responsibility is to raise me money to bring those scientists from Clean and Bread and bring the people. And I do the building of the city, you bring the people. So that's
right.
your responsibility, and you pay for that. And we need right now, today." This was just after I arrived from Israel back to Texas. I need right now, today, $100,000. I said, "What?" He says, "You got to send me $100,000 today." I said, "No, I don't have that." He said, "Robert, did you tell the Prime Minister and I that you know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?" I said, "Yes, sir." "Do you know the God of Moses?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, why are you saying you don't have the money? If you have the God of our Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, then you have the money." I said, "Well, I don't have the money." He says, "You tell God, because you have a relationship with him. You say that you know God. You walk with God. So there's no problem. Just tell him that you need $100,000 a day to send to me to write. We need to airlift all these families today from Kaliningrad to Israel to begin this smart city." And so I said to him, "I cannot raise $100,000 today." He says, "Robert, I didn't ask you to do that. I told you to tell the God that you said you knew, the God of our fathers, to give you the money. And you give the money today, and you send it today." Well, I've never been in a situation like that. I never had to demand money and demand it today. And
yeah.
I didn't have the money. And so I said, "Ron, I can't do that." He says, talk to God and you give the money. I said, Ron, God says you put his name on Temple Mount. He's local. It's a local call for you. It's long distance for me. So go ahead and you make the local call.
Yeah. All
right. He said, you make the call because you told us God is with you. So I hung up. And when I hung up, I was so angry that these Jews are so demanding. They are not polite. How can I walk? How can I have a friend like this when it's all about money? So when I hung up, I said, God, I don't need your Jews. You chose them. You keep them. I'm okay without them because I can't operate like this, demanding $100,000 today, and I don't have $100,000 today. And so I said, God, I fear you and I honor you, but I cannot walk with your people because the way they do things is not the way we do things over here. So, and then I said, Lord, is there anything you want to tell me? And the Lord actually spoke to me. He's the Holy One of Israel. He said, did you hear what the mayor said? I said, yes. He said, he didn't say you'd give him the money. He said, you ask God to give you the money to give it to them because you are my servant. So they're asking you as my servant to talk to me, to give you the money, to give them the money today. And you haven't done that. So I said, okay, God, if it's you, then I need the money for the Jewish people, for the Jews today. Now, this was, of course, their own wrong time. This was at least 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they wake up early. They're earlier than us, several hours. So I'm standing there as I was saying, God, you give me the money. Before I could finish the words, the phone rang. And I picked up the phone. I said, who is this? And the man said, when do you need the $100,000 for Israel? I thought, oh, my house is bagged by the FBI, the CIA, the Mossad. There is no way that anybody will know my conversation, not even my wife. And how could they know I need $100,000 today? Who are you? So I didn't answer.
Yeah.
So the man said again, when do you need the $100,000 for Israel today? I said, finally, who are you? Just forget about the money. Are you the Archangel Gabriel? Are you a human being? Who are you? Where are you? And the man said, my name is Neil Jabanati. He's a pastor in California. And he said, my name is Neil Jabanati. I'm calling. I said, where are you calling from? He said, I'm calling from San Diego. I said, well, it's 4:30 in the morning over there. Oh, you know, 3:30. It's too early. He said, you haven't answered me. When do you need the money? I said, I need the money today. He says, this morning, I'll wire you the $100,000. I said, how did you know I needed $100,000? He said, when I was in Israel with my church on Masada, I had my first vision in my life, giving a man $100,000 for Israel. And the Lord told me, I will tell you the day and who to give it to. And when I told my congregation that on Masada, and two businessmen came and gave me $50,000 each. And it's been in the bank for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And today, when your name was mentioned, I heard the same voice that I heard on Masada. This is the man for the $100,000, and he needs it today. I was able to send Ron Nachman the same day $100,000. Then I knew this is God, and this is unusual, that he is still the Holy One of Israel. That's how
amazing.
The whole journey began.
Yeah, yeah. Man, that's miraculous. It just kind of shows you, Dr. Marie, that, you know, when you get involved in Israel and what God is doing, and he's going to
make sure that things get taken care of.
Had a miracle of that magnitude.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still 5:30. in the way it happened. And it's time. They'll say they wanted some money, and it's the next project, and the next project, and the next project. It was like, yes, yes, let's do it. Because God is funding you. God is doing it. I'm just a conduit of what you're doing. Because God doesn't give us obligation. He only gives us compensation. He just compensates us for what he has already done for us. He is the source.
Wow.
And he's the giver. And we're just the receivers. So he's like, are you going to receive the money for them? I say, Father, here I am. Just let it happen. And through it, we've seen the marvelous things. You know, I said that we have a shortwave radio station that's reaching out to 1.6 billion households in the Northern Hemisphere, every household in the Northern Hemisphere. This is how I got the station. The way I got the station is we donated an FM station to Ariel, the city.
Ariel.
Good News 106. The day we donated that station and dedicated it, within 72 hours, we had the opportunity to buy the shortwave radio. In other words, the radio is in Judea and Samaria. From Judea and Samaria, we went to the uttermost parts of the earth. I mean, you can't make this up. There's no way you can make this up.
It's amazing.
Genesis 12:3 says, I'll bless those who bless you. God didn't make conditions. Unconditional commitment of the Ancient of Days. Yeah. I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you.
Yeah.
And it's still the same. It hasn't changed.
Right.
God has not changed. That's why when we bless them, we got blessed. It's a privilege to be engaged in blessing Israel, because I'll end up with more blessings. It's just one of the greatest experiences in my life. It changed my whole paradigm. Everything changed.
That's amazing. Well, you know, you talk about bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. You know, anything that whether you're a prime minister or whoever you are, probably the higher level before you get dealt with. But when you do something that somehow messes with God's plan, He will, some people have a hard time with this, Dr. Murray. They have a hard time with that. And he will curse those who curse you and bless those who bless you. And Israel has a lot of testimony in their mind. But when you told Ariel Sharon, Ariel Sharon was prime minister in 2006, and you, before he became prime minister, I told people, I said, yeah, I've got to get him together. This is amazing. In front of, I think, some businessmen, you told Eric Sharon 6 months before he became prime minister, which was very much in question, that he was going to be prime minister, right?
Well, here's what happened. The Lord spoke to me, said, go up to Jerusalem. I want you to tell Ariel Sharon he's going to be the next prime minister of Israel, and that if he negotiates land for peace or remove the Jewish people from the land I gave them, then I will strike him like in ancient times. Then I said to the Lord, okay, I'm taking a group of 35 people from Texas to Israel, and I will not contact his office nor contact anybody. If this is the Lord, you'll have to orchestrate the appointment. You'll have to bring Ariel Sharon to me. I'm not going to look for him, because sometimes we help God out, and God doesn't need us to help him out.
Right.
God, we can make it as hard as, you know, we can make it as hard as you want. God, if this is you, that he will be prime minister in 6 months, I don't want to be one of those prophets who prophesy out of their own juices, you know, prophesy people pleasing stuff. I just want to be faithful to God. I want to hear from him. So I wrote all the promises of God concerning Israel when they return from the diaspora, when they return from the nations, from the wilderness of nations, all the unfulfilled prophecies. So I laid them up and I framed them. And God says, I want you to give him the roadmap, the prophetic roadmap of Israel. So I laid that and framed it, and I met two copies, one for my office, which I still have, and wanted to give to him. And so I had 35 people with me on the bus, as you know, touring Israel. Get up early, get on the bus, and you go. So each morning I would get on the bus. I went by two friends, and the people, my people would say, "Pastor, what are you doing with that?" I said, "One is for Ariel Sharon." "Oh, do you have an appointment with him?" I said, "No." "Are you trying to make contact with him?" I said, "No." "So you're going to give it to him?" I said, "Well, if the Lord has sent me with the word to him, the Lord will send him to me. And
right.
I will present
wow.
this to him." So day after day, it was a 14-day tour. Day
wow.
after day, I have my friends with me on the bus, and we're going. And
yeah.
and everybody's just kind of looking like, "Oh, Pastor, what's going on here?" I said, "Well, why can't you try to find him?" I said, "No, I don't want to have God out. Because I only know that I know that I know that I know that God has sent me to him when he sent him to me." 3 days before coming back to Texas, the phone rang in my office. "This is the office of General Ariel Sharon. He wants
wow.
to meet you tomorrow at the library at 3 o'clock. So in the morning, I have my two friends, and I tell the driver, "We're going to go to the library at 3 o'clock. He says, "It's not on the itinerary." I say, "This is my group. This is my tour. You're going to take us to the library 2:30. We don't have anything on the itinerary. I got all this itinerary.
Yeah.
Where we're going to take you?" I said, "I don't care what it is. We're going to be at the library 2:30.
Yeah.
And he had to take us there. And the people are wondering what is going to happen. There walks in General Ariel Sharon.
Wow.
We have videos on it. We have pictures on it. We got
yeah.
we got everything because the 35 people stranded
wow.
North America taking pictures. So,
yeah, nobody can believe it.
Exactly. So I told him what God had told me, that he will be prime minister in 6 months.
Yes.
But he's not to negotiate land for peace, and he's not to remove the Jewish people from the land. That the day you remove the people of God from the land God gave them, he will strike you like in ancient times. He said, "There's no way I could be prime minister."
Wow.
I'm already on, and I've already been indicted by the World Court on crime against humanity in what happened in Lebanon.
As a general,
They gave me 6 months before they go public to put my affairs in order. I said, "You will not go in 6 months. You will not go to Hague. You will be prime minister." He says, "It is absolutely impossible. But if the God of our fathers has appeared to you and told you that, if it happens, I will know that he is indeed our God and that we have not heard from him in 2,000 years.
Whoa, 2,000
blessed are you. We have come in the name of our God."
Wow.
And
so because he was a general, they were after him for, what happens when you do war. It gets crazy.
Yeah, of course.
And so they were had nullified him basically as he knew he wouldn't be prime minister, and yet here you are telling him in front of others that it's going to happen. And he said, "If it happens, that'll be the first time God's talking to you." I love that.
And he was so amazing. And the fact that he said, "Blessed are you, we have come in the name of our God." That was incredible. And of course, all my people, my 35 people are watching and was saying, "Wow. Did you hear what Pastor just said? That Ariel Sharon going to be prime minister." And so everybody became very anxious for the next 6 months.
They're gonna start worrying for you that you missed it.
Exactly. God
funny.
Never misses, 6 months he became prime minister. He didn't go to Hague. Thank God. And the Lord had said, frame this roadmap for him to see my plan for Israel. So he said, "You hang it in his office and read those scriptures every day." Well, something happened. He got under pressure, and he removed the Jewish people from the Gaza Strip. There would
okay.
not be this war going on if the Jews were still living in the Gaza Strip. When the Jews moved out of the Gaza Strip, the Hamas moved in.
Hamas moved in, right. Wow.
And we are now seeing the result, the consequences of that disobedience.
That's amazing. Now, here we are right here in this war with Gaza, and you were the one. It's amazing that we're talking about tonight, if you give me land, God will deal with you. And so that's against Gaza, which they didn't have Gaza before. Arab gave up Gaza Strip. Now Hamas moved in. And then they October the 7th, which happened to be my birthday, which is a really weird thing. They went in and killed a thousand or so people. I can't remember how many there was. Chopped their heads off. It's crazy. And that all happened. Well, let's just stop for a second here. You gave them that word. He's the one. I didn't even know that. And so when you gave him that word, in 2006. He had a stroke. Yeah, 2006. He had a stroke.
Immediately.
And never recovered.
When he did it. That's when he dropped this truck. The God struck him, just like I told him in front of 35 people. The Lord God of your fathers will strike you if you do that.
Wow. So let's get the timing here for a second. I've heard the timing very well. So you gave him that. He gave away God the 1 year. What year was that about?
2005, I believe. Sometimes
it was 2005. Before the end of the year. Right. Okay, yeah. There you go. So 2005, for me in 2005, and you'd already given the word that if he gave any land away, which he gave away God, Hamas took over, then just a few months later, he ends up with a stroke that he never recovered from.
It's good striking, because God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he is faithful to his people. They are his people. And he will deal with Israel in a way that is very peculiar to Israel. And so the return of the Jews, as I told him, I said, you didn't come back here because of Resolution 181, 242 of the United Nations Security Council resolutions of General Assembly. You came here because God said it. I will gather you back into the land. I, the Lord, will gather you back. Not the United Nations, not some revolution. God Almighty did this. So you are not to look up to men. You look only to God, because you were invented by God, and you only could survive under the protection of God. Because nobody will protect you. The United Nations will curse you, and they're cursing them all the time. So gave them Lorraine, and now they cost them with resolution after resolution against them. So they can't protect you. Only God who brought them back.
So his fear was, so the reason that he gave away Gaza became, 2005, he gave away Gaza. A few weeks later, the word of the Lord that you gave him came to pass, and he struck him. And he never recovered from it.
He was in the hospital the whole time. What made him do that? Because he was under tremendous pressure, especially from our government, to please our government in order to get the support they need. But the Lord is a helper.
He
doesn't need America. We need God.
Yes, absolutely.
So we can't play God in their lives. Israel was invented by God. It's God's people, God's land, and God has a plan for them, and nothing will stop that plan. So as long as the leaders of Israel realize that they are existing in their ancient land, not because of the support of men, but the word of the Lord, the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. Because God said so.
That's amazing. You gave him that word. A few days later, was in a stroke, never recovered, because he feared what men would think, trying to work something out.
Okay, so now that God,
how many years later, 2024, October 2022 is when they came and took over. So that was how many years, 2006. I mean, now, Yahoo, you know him. The pressure that he's under, you kind of understand, you know what everyone was under, and he gave in. So that
doesn't
need a lot of prayer. I mean, we need to really pray for him.
Not only is a seven of the Most High God, I look at him like King David, an anointed man. God gave me a prophetic word for Benjamin Netanyahu first time he was in the office. I think 1997, I went there with seven businessmen from Dallas, because God had said, go up to Jerusalem and give the prime minister the word that if he negotiates land for peace, his government will collapse.
Wow.
And so I went to Jerusalem, took seven businessmen from Dallas as eyewitnesses, and we had a meeting in the prime minister's office, and I told him, the Lord has sent me to tell you that if you negotiate land for peace, the land does not belong to you, the land belongs to the Lord. If you try to negotiate God's land to people please, the Lord will not be pleased with you, your government will collapse.
Wow.
And of course, Benjamin Netanyahu is a great man. He's an amazing man. He's truly like David. He looks right into my eyes. He says, "Rock,
oh,
do you realize that we Jews, we stone our prophets?"
Exactly. So, yeah. That's why they have a lot of rocks over there.
What are you doing? In other words, he didn't take me serious.
Right.
Until he came to Camp David, and flying back to Israel, his government collapsed. And when his government collapsed, then he realized that was the word of the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the Jewish people, the God that gave them the land, that he is jealous of his people. The land belongs to him, and he doesn't want anybody to mess with the land. So his government did collapse. Then several years later, when he was out of office, I met with him several times. And then at Fort Lauderdale, in front of the whole staff of the church and members of my group, I think there were 20 people, he was speaking there. And I said, it's the prime minister. I have another word for you. The Lord says you will be prime minister again. But this time, your God has told you, do not negotiate land for peace. And if you do not negotiate land for peace, your government will be the longest, your prime ministership will be the longest reigning prime minister in Israel, as long as you do not negotiate God's land to people, please.
Right.
Because the land belongs to the Lord.
So what's happening right now is that he's not giving it up. He's going after her.
As long as he's faithful to God, because he knows what happened to him. Negotiating land for peace is, you know, is a bye-bye. You're not going to be. This is not God's agenda. God, because he said, I'll bring you back to the land, not man.
Right.
I, the Lord, Ezekiel 36, verse 24, I'll bring you back in unbelief. And he did. So the existence of Israel is an act of God in history. And anybody, whether Jewish or Gentile, tries to mess with God's plan, it spells trouble.
I've been thinking a lot about this. I will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. Came Abraham left his family when he left his homeland. And the thing that's amazing about that was that he goes there and he starts talking about designing your one divine.
And when you get up there, I know these guys, they're going to kill me for you. And God had to tell him I'm going to bless those objections just as a person. So he had to come back and work at somebody. We go to the and sure enough, I want to make this one short, but I want to, that's something I never thought about before. So Nebuchadnezzar takes her, but he didn't do anything wrong. He actually gets her up and left his brother. And so he didn't do anything wrong. He never hurt anybody, never did anything wrong. But yet, because he was going to, if he would have had a relationship with one of them, that would have bound her and messed up the coming child. Yeah, and so even though they didn't really do anything against her, they were going against Isaac. They would have been going against what
God protects us in spite of us. How God loves us and cares for us and will come through for us even when we are in rebellion and disobedience because of fear of people.
So, we're learning how to, because when God speaks to me sometimes, something big, he's probably something big. I believe it, but it takes time for me to actually work it into my everyday life. Someone who has gone through learning how to trust God is what we do in reality of everyday life. That was amazing that he passed the test. Because Abraham knew, man, that's amazing. He was protecting, he was asking him to, because Abraham was offering up his future.
Exactly.
And so here he was, you know, offering him up. That was a peak faith,
in
my opinion. And it
took
time
for him
to get there.
It's
amazing.
I mean, like all of us, you know, it takes time to learn the faithfulness of God and, you know, how God delivered him in Egypt and brought him back to the land. I mean, God, we have a wonderful God. He knows that we are but weak, we are human. He will meet us at our point of need, and he will carry us through grace upon grace upon grace upon
grace. That's amazing.
Find the red heifer. I said, well,
Yeah, God knows where the radio is. I'll talk to him. I said, yes, I'll find the red heifer. And
what year was that, Dr.
Yeah, it's almost 2.5 years now. Yeah, I think the red heifers that I believe would be 3 years.
I mean, when did the rabbi come to you about what year was that?
Yeah, during that time. Because I was... They came the same week they came to me on Wednesday. And on Saturday, we're already looking at the red heifer because somebody told Brian, your friend, Brian Davenport.
Yeah,
Davenport. He told him that Robert is looking for red heifers. So Brian calls me. He says, Robert, you looking for red heifers? I said, that's right.
Wow.
The rabbi just came on Wednesday, and I'm just praying about it and asking God to show me how to find these red heifers. He said, well, God has already answered your prayer. My brother's got the red heifers. I said, your brother's got red heifers? I thought, are you not a diamond guy? It's like, doesn't that make sense?
You
know what the red heifers you? And I'm like, So, where is your brother? He says, right here. You can come and see the red heifer. I said, can we come tomorrow? He says, come. So I called my friend Byron and say, we're going to go to this place and we're going to see the red heifers. And, of course, the day we didn't find it until I had a picture of us standing under the tree because we're looking at Tri. He looked so distraught. In 1980, the Lord had showed him that he would be contributing a red heifer to the temple and has been raising them for all this time. And now we go through his red heifers. They're all spotted. They're all disqualified. And we look at him. He is really becoming discouraged. You could see it on his face. So we said, brothers, let's pray. We're not praying to get him. We're praying to encourage him. To say, it's okay. You waited for a long time. It's not happening, but God is good. Let's pray. So we prayed, and when we finished, we're going to the last paddock, the last place to look before we leave at 4 o'clock. And lo and behold, this red heifer that had just been born, it had not even been cleaned. Red heifer directed the answer to prayer. Purest red, the red heifer.
He says, the time of the restoration of the tabernacle of David has come. But I was laughing. I said, God, I'm not a singer. Because everybody was saying the restoration of the tabernacle of David was Davidic worship.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, well, my theology says I can't qualify for that. You know how sometimes our theology blinds us to what God is trying to do. Anyway, I went there for the tabernacle, for the restoration of the tabernacle of David. And I started working with the Temple Institute, Temple Faithful. I started being involved, and it was ahead of the time. It was ahead of the time. And then the Lord said, work with Ron Nachman, do the smart city. And again, the Lord always said to me, because you're of the household of David, I've given you responsibility to gather my people from the nations. I will supply you. I will be there to meet all your needs as long as you're faithful to do what I told you. And I thank God because he knows his arm. He knows things that we couldn't put together. He
Absolutely.
Has a plan, and that plan is unfolding before us.
It
Benjamin Netanyahu is in the office. Now he knows not to negotiate land for peace. He's saying, no, I'm not going there. When I went there to please America, I lost the I lost my position and my government collapsed. Now, you're pulling me to that. I don't need that. Anyway, this time,
it's amazing.
He's going to need a lot of prayers because I think this time, they're going to get him. They're going to get him to negotiate plan for peace because the whole world is going to come against him. His own people are going to come against him. And,
okay, so where do you think that's going to go? I mean, if he does that, you're concerned that he's going to do it due to the pressure on him is unbelievable.
I can't even imagine that.
If he does that, then he's going to lose out.
You know,
it's something
that
whatever God wants to deal with.
Well, he will be like many of the kings of Israel who were called by God and anointed by God, who somehow get drifting away from the Lord, deceived, compromised, and then destroyed. Story after stories, we read in the book of Chronicles, in the Judges, we all through the Old Testament, men raised by God were compromised, and God judges them. Israel is really like the paradigm where we measure everything because we see what God has done with the children of Israel, and we look at ourselves as God calls us into this calling to be one new man with Israel, into the commonwealth of Israel, that in this commonwealth of Israel, we are to be obedient. We are to fear the Lord. Now, I pray for Benjamin Netanyahu. I want everybody to pray for Benjamin Netanyahu because he's a great man of God. He fears the Lord, and he wants to do what is right in the sight of the Lord, but he is under tremendous internal pressure, external pressure. They are trying to force him to do what he knows is not right. Not only because, you know, they've got to survive as a nation. Then he feels like I have to please these nations that are supporting me, especially America. If I turn against them, then we'll be isolated. We'll have nobody to stand with us, and we'll be destroyed.
God wants them to be isolated under him.
Exactly.
I think you're right. I think everything going on with that really is to work them into a place where only God can protect them. I think that's what God wants.
Well, that's what's coming. Because what's coming is that yes, they'll negotiate some kind of peace thing, but that thing, as we know from Scripture, is going to collapse. The nations of the world will come against them. And it's never going to work. It's never going to work because it is not what God wants.
Whoever, get your audio.
So this is what we're looking at.
So at the same time, you know, you watch the green red, that's what I'm calling it. Yeah. And so you saw that, you witnessed that, just a sign to me.
Palestinians. No, they are blessed. They're children of Abraham. God says, I'll bless them.
I'll give them 12 nations. I'll give them all the money, all the oil money. It's because God loves the Palestinians. It's when we walk in disobedience to what God says, then we bring judgment on ourselves.
Right. One of the reasons that I know that to kind of come in with the timing situation here was that back in 2009, the Holy Spirit wrote out before me, and then I got to go. And he showed me, he gave me the mission of somebody by their name, Ransom Rothschild. He said, the Enterprise, well, I can identify that specifically. I don't want to know the Enterprise, the Enterprise, the Enterprise. But I wasn't particularly seeking a God for it.
He brought you guys up before me, so a long before
I kept that name quiet.
Everybody said quiet.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Everybody listening right now who's been with me for years knows that I gave hints to who he was. He had red hair, dark red hair. He was a wealthy family. He was about 26. And so finally, when the queen died in 2022, the Lord said, now, on Monday, September the 12th, I want you to give the name of the Antichrist. I got on the show, and everybody knows I've been waiting for it for 12 years. I mean, you've been a hit, but everybody said, the name of the Antichrist is Nathaniel Rothschild. That's all the other names.
Rothschild.
And so, now watch this, doctor, and you were part of this. That was on
Then when war started,
brother, it started on my birthday. I woke up
And it says, the Lord says, Doctor, he said, happy birthday.
He got murdered in Israel.
He said, you know what I mean. You know, he knew I knew what he meant, but I'm called to Israel, and this was my sign, because the labor pain, as far as Dr. was promising, said 50 to 1,000 times per day.
Sanctify the priesthood, nor the temple, and temple worship cannot begin. And the issue, as far as the Arab world, not just Palestinians, this is not a Palestinian issue. This is the Islamic issue. This is the resistance to Israel returning to Temple Mount, building their temple there, or worshiping there, is the issue. Now, because it is the issue, this confrontation has begun. To say, we won't let them do this.
Right.
But God is not a man to lie. He said they will worship on Temple Mount. The temple will be built on Temple Mount next to the Dome of the Rock. It is in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 42, verse 20. It says the temple will be built next to the profane thing, which is the Dome of the Rock. And it tells us exactly where it's going to be built, and we know that the Dome of the Rock is built at the court of the Gentiles, because Revelation chapter 11 says, measure the temple of God and leave out the court of the Gentiles. That's where the Dome of the Rock is. That's why they build a wall to protect the temple, Ezekiel 42, verse 20. They build a wall. So they're going to build a wall around the third temple that's going to be built as a result of the red heifers from Texas, red heifer, not only one, sacrificed and having the angel of the red heifer. And now, I don't know whether you know this. You know, Brian is a diamond dealer.
He's a diamond dealer. I know that.
Here is the mystery, the divine mystery. When the children of Israel, I think you know this, when the children of Israel came out of Babylon to build the second temple, they were looking for the red heifer. They couldn't find the red heifer among themselves. And the red heifer was found with a diamond dealer, a gentle diamond dealer.
Wow.
That was the second temple. And the third temple, what happens? They find the red heifer through a diamond dealer, a gentle diamond dealer. That this is over 2,000 years. This is a makeup.
God, yeah.
10,000 years, and now, through one of our friends, who I've known since 2009, I mentored to his family, we've been friends for a while, but I didn't know Ty, and to find out that, you know, we are so connected to this thing, I mean, it's amazing that the timing of the Lord, I mean, this thing is about to be done. It's about to be done. And the greatest sign that we are where we are, the end of the year,
because they knew the remember was going to be the answer to the war, that's going to ignite something that is more refined of the end of time that we're at. Do you think this war is pivotal to the end time events? It's a defining moment in the history of Israel. This war is the war that result into in the false peace treaty when all the nations gather together and they make a peace treaty to say, Israel, okay, stop. You can worship on Temple Mount. We will let you worship on Temple Mount. But you have to let the Palestinians have this part. They will try to make a kind of a peace agreement, which we know is not going to last, and it's going to be through the international pressure that they will pressure Benjamin Netanyahu or whoever is going to be in power. As a matter of fact, I think they want to get rid of Benjamin Netanyahu. They want somebody who is going to be open to land for peace. So they're going to be forcing him out because either he agrees or they want to get rid of him. And they have a justification that we have helped you during this great crisis. That's why we must now negotiate peace and security
right.
for everybody. We'll give you peacekeeping forces, not from the United Nations, but from NATO. The NATO forces will come, and you can trust them. They will protect Israel. So Israel will be given force guarantees and force protection. And the Bible tells us that it's not going to work. Because
right.
God says, do not divide my land. Joel chapter 3, God says, I'll judge the nations because it's a resolution of the United Nations that divided the land. Resolution 181, 242. Because the nations of the world are forcing Israel to disobey God. And God's going to judge all the nations that do it.
That's it. God's going to use it just like he did when they crucified Christ. And one sense, he's going to destroy Satan. And on the other hand, he's going to birth in something brand new.
That's why they are pushing the people from the Gaza Strip towards Egypt.
because they belong to Egypt before 1967 border, because they're trying to force the Israel to accept the 1967 border as the final settlement. So Israel will have to allow the West Bank people to go back as an independent part of Jordan, like a kind of a state, a provincy, just by self-governing. And then the people they don't know what to do with is the Gaza Strip people, because Egypt doesn't like them. Though they were ruling Egypt, Egypt was ruling the Gaza Strip, but now they're like, don't push them to us now.
No, don't bring them here. Wow.
We don't want them. So wow. they are now looking for countries that would accept them.
Wow.
Because this settlement, this arrangement, which is exactly what the scripture says, a false peace, false arrangements that will not last. And they are going to have an interim period of 7 years for confidence building, and halfway through it's going to collapse. And then, Jacob's trouble, and the whole world in trouble because of disobedience to God, because God will judge the nations for forcing Israel to do what they are forcing them to do, which is to divide the land. He says, I'll judge the nations for dividing my land. The land issue is extremely important to God because it has to do with the integrity of his word. He said it, he won't change it to accommodate the aspirations of the Palestinian people. He won't change because they have given you 12 nations. They're yours. You remember when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, God told them not to attack Jordan, Amman. He says, don't attach because I've given that to Esau. He says, do not touch them. I've given them to Esau. So God was defending the territorial integrity of Esau.
Wow.
So God has divided them the world. And he wants people to stay where God has placed them. That's why the Antichrist is going to try to remove the boundaries. And there's one more government.
So what's happening is that if you know, I know who it is, and there's no question to me. And what shows me more, the seven supernatural signs God gave me before I revealed his name in September 12th. Think of the timing with that.
Of the end of time, because the devil wants to attack on that day, because that's the day that the living word Jesus was born.
Oh,
so he's going after the people of God on that same day. Because
I can't handle it anymore. I can't handle it anymore.
I mean, this is not good.
That is amazing.
The attack comes because they know that now the temple is going to be built, that the sacrifice is going to be there, and all Israel is going to be saved, because, you see, here's the issue. Why is the temple so important? We know that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit,
yes,
that the body of Christ is the temple. So why would God want a physical temple in Jerusalem?
Right.
People say, it can't be the temple of God, the temple of the Antichrist. No, the Bible says the temple of God. Measure
yes.
the temple of God.
Right.
Second Thessalonians, he enters the temple of God. So this is the temple of God. So why is it so important? Because the red heifer is from your friend here in the Bible Belt. In the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the heart of the Bible Belt gives the red heifer. Now, that red heifer is going to be the event begins the temple worship. Now, temple worship, why is God allowing the temple worship? Because Scripture is clear. It says, the deliverer shall come out of Zion, meaning Jerusalem, meaning Temple Mount. That's why when you go to Ezekiel 43, the temple is built on the top of the rock, and God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit comes to the temple. Zechariah chapter 12, he comes to the temple as it was on the day of Pentecost. He comes there, reveals himself to the Jewish people. They will see him on the pierce because they will be frustrated that God is not accepting their sacrifices, and they will cry out to God, and as it was on the day that the temple was dedicated by Solomon, the Shekinah glory will fill that temple, and God the Father will come with the Son. It says in Ezekiel 43:1-7, he comes with the Son. The glory of the Ancient of Days enters the temple with the Son of Man. So that means the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all three of them, in the temple, in Jerusalem, and the Apostle Paul says in Romans 11:26, all Israel will be saved in a day. Will receive Jesus.
Wow.
Because we'll see him on the pierce. Then they'll be saved through the blood of Jesus, not the blood of animals.
That's so right.
We are just helping them to get to Jesus.
Exactly.
They don't know that God already said, this is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to do it. All Israel will be saved, the Israel of God, not the sin of Satan. But, the sin of Satan doesn't belong to him, of those who say they're Jews, but not Jews. And, you know, that is the group that is going to be orchestrating the New World Order, is the group that's going to be orchestrating the whole satanic thing, because they are finding the true Israel of God. But the true Israel of God will be saved at Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And that's why the devil doesn't want that temple to be built.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, I know that the Rothschild has a lot to do with the Knesset building. The name of the street in front of the Knesset is Rothschild Street. The Supreme Court, when they built that building, I don't know how much they were involved in building it, but there's an experiment on the top of it. I've never been to that. I'd like to see it next time I go, but I didn't know it was done. So the next time I go, before. What happened to me the first time I went to Israel, right? The first time, watch this. I've had Michael and my favorite visit me in Israel.
It scared me a little bit.
And so I go to Israel, and the first time, 2 years ago, and I've been in ministry. I'm not supposed to be in ministry, but I heard a pastor who ran had the doubt about here.
So we're
going to do some business for Pastor Benny. And so the car can pick us up. The car for the pastor guy.
So I just
training.
And
he looked at me. He's a Palestinian. He said, oh, you know Hebrew. I said, no,
I don't know any Hebrew.
I can barely read English. He said, no. What you speaking in perfect Hebrew? I said, oh, my God. No kidding.
Well, I didn't know.
Rothschild, it was.
The Lord said, Antichrist.
So I go and I do research, right? And the only person I could find that was a Rothbard with those exact initials was Nathaniel Victor James Rothbard, with the same initial, right? I'm going, oh, my God. So the next thing that happened supernatural was a few months later, I have a dream about the Antichrist. In this dream, I'm standing there in this room in my house, and there's a wooden casket. I didn't even know the Jews buried themselves in the wooden. And I figured, why would the Antichrist be I'm standing there, doctor, and the lids start opening up. I'm on the other side of the casket. There's a window in front of me, and I'm swinging a huge sword back and forth to the right and left. And demons are screaming.
And
people
are
saying,
"Rock,
rock, 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 rock,
when that happened, that's about the time that I had to be in Christ.
And God told me that before that because God was hindering the internet before and helping Henry Clinton. I didn't know what that means exactly.
But then
Trump came out.
And the only one that said,
the second time around, that Trump was not going to make it. That was the only one.
Nero. Nero had red hair. Nero had red hair.
Yes.
And Nero is that beast that will come back. And he will manifest himself with his original hair, red hair. So I said, this is how you will know him. He will have red hair.
Oh, my goodness.
And you preached that
one years ago? Yeah.
My goodness, that is amazing.
You're the only one who has said that about red hair. When I preached that, people thought I was preaching against Donald Trump. That you had him. He's talking about red hair. He must be attacking Donald Trump. And I'm like, no, I'm not attacking Donald Trump because I prophesied about Donald Trump in Austin when he first started running. The Lord spoke to me. He said, that New Yorker, Donald Trump, is going to be the president. And when I told the people in Austin at the businessmen's meeting, they all rocked it with laughter and say, he's crazy. He'll never be president. I said, well, that says the Lord. That's what he just told me.
That's amazing.
Wow. Because he does look like his hair is red.
I don't know what his hair used to look like.
When he came down the escalator, I had to get the house. And I watched him come down the escalator. And the Lord, as he was coming down the escalator, the Lord's already told me the enterprise is. So I know he gave me the enterprise. So what do you mean?
into this new book here, Israel
Lift it up a little bit more. Lift it up just a little bit more.
The miracle of Israel.
A little bit more. Maybe back up some. Okay. Oh, that's beautiful.
Now, this is the 75th anniversary publication of all the miracles, mostly of the Christian involvement in Israel, and also the story of the descendant of King Solomon, Melanek, who married the black woman, was given jurisdiction over Africa, which was Ethiopia until 1885. So I am part of that bloodline. My name, Mawire. If you Google right now on your phone and say Mawire Ethiopia, there will be the Star of David and the Lion of Judah. And underneath it will say Mawire.
Wow.
Anybody can Google that on their phone and just say Mawire Ethiopia, and it'll pop up with the Lion of Judah and Mawire. Because we are the family, we are the family of King Solomon through Queen Sheba, and we ruled up Ethiopia for 2,700 years. Because all of Africa was Ethiopia until 1885. When they broke up the kingdom, because we had 50 kings under us. So those are the 50 nations of Africa. Those were the kingdoms we ruled over. And there is a beautiful story about how our family was actually instrumental in the liberation of Israel and the creation of the modern state of Israel. Because one of our ancestors, Prester John, wrote a letter that was circulated all over Europe called the Letters of Prester John. Anybody can Google that and there will be volumes of those letters, Letters of Prester John. And those Letters of Prester John were Prester John saying, we have 1,000 gold mines to finance the creation of the liberation of Palestine from the occupation and create the Jewish state again, restore the Jewish people to their land. And that letter was circulated all over and translated in many languages, and it's still available. And it's written by my ancestor, Prester John. And in it, he says, my gold will be used for liberating Israel, and he tells where the gold is. He says, my gold is between two rivers, which is the Zambezi and the Limpopo, which you call Rhodesia. It's in Rhodesia.
Oh, okay.
So he describes that my gold is in Rhodesia. That's why when the time came, everybody was going to Rhodesia to get the gold because they knew there was gold and there was 1,000 gold mines. That's why, remember Cecil John Rhodes, he fought a war called the Boer War, because the Boers, which were the Dutch, were trying to get to Rhodesia before the British. So the British had to stop them to say, you're not going to go get Prester John's gold. We come to go get the gold.
Wow.
You be farmers. That's where he started the first confederation in South Africa. And there was a big war, big slaughter of the Dutch, because they all had the same letters that said the gold is between two rivers. So they all wanted to go there and get the gold. Cecil John Rhodes stopped them by this war. When he finished the war, he crossed over and he found the 1,000 gold mines. He found all of them. He had the maps. So he found the 1,000 gold mines. And he was able to carry more gold that made England the wealthiest nation on the face of the earth. That's why they fixed the price of gold without a gold mine.
Oh, my goodness. I've never heard that. That's amazing.
Yeah, the gold that they to be able to build a freight train to carry that gold, because a lot of it has already been mined, already waiting to be sent to Jerusalem. So he collected all that gold and sent it to England. But to this day, they still cannot put even a dollar figure on it, the amount of it
that
they
took.
And so then that's when they killed my great-grandfather, the king, and they took his scepter and buried it, and we just got that scepter dug up.
Oh.
The Solomon scepter that was given to Melanie. So all that gold went over, and here's the most wonderful thing. Cicero John Rhodes was a son of a preacher, the vicar. So he knew about this letter, that it was, the gold was not for any purpose but for helping to liberate Palestine and get the Jews back.
Oh, that's amazing, man.
So when he got all that gold, what did he do? He set up, this is all verified historical, anybody can research this. He said, Cicero John Rhodes then set up what you call the round table. And say Lord Balfour was member of that round table. So the Cicero Rhodes group from Rhodesia is the one that secured the right for Israel to return, the Balfour Declaration.
Oh, wow.
So that is tied into my family.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
Listen, that's how God working. It's just amazing, amazing, amazing. Because what happened is the Professor John who said the gold must be for liberating Palestine. We were not going to do that. We didn't know how to do it. So God sent the British to fulfill the vision.
Right.
That's why they came. That was God's way of fulfilling that vision. Of course, here's the point that you mentioned something about the Rothschild. Cicero John Rhodes, he's the one that makes the Rothschild the trustee.
Oh.
And that's why the Rothschild donated the land for the United Nations. And that's why the Rothschild, when they wrote the Constitution, the Charter for the League of Nations, it all has to do with Israel. That's why in the League of Nations, the Charter says Israel. We're creating this to create the right of Israel to return, the Jewish people. And he set up this trust for the Jewish people, but he took most of the money.
The Rothschild did. The Rothschild.
The Rothschild. Because that's
there
the
you
money.
Go.
He was made the trustee. He was made the trustee. And that trustee is the one that funded the United Nations, the League of Nations, is the one that funded the Resolution 181 for the creation of the modern state of Israel. So, and then Rothschild donated some of it to some of the buildings in Israel, helped a little bit, but most of it never will end up in the hands of the Jewish people because it was all for Israel.
Wow, so what they did was, that kind of tells you right there, that's Antichrist material right there.
He took the money that didn't belong to them. This all the money must have been transferred to Israel.
Yeah.
To make Israel the wealthiest nation because it was their money. But that's never done that. So I can see how it's all, God has worked. Of course, he uses Cyrus, and Cyrus is not a man of God. Cyrus, he's doing it for political reasons, but God uses him. So God uses these people that don't even know what's going on, but at least I have to say that they did use some of that money for the creation of the modern state of Israel, but they didn't give all the money for the development of Israel. So that was the original letters. So all these letters are all over the world, in in every language. Everybody knew about it because Professor John told the British royal family and the Vatican that the time has come to liberate Palestine and bring the Jews back. In 1000, they say, no, the Jews have been replaced by Christians. So we don't need that money because we, the Christians, are going to take over Jerusalem. So they did.
Oh, wow. That's when they came in.
Exactly. Then when he collapsed, they went to look for Professor John's gold. Said, no, I think it's time for the Jews. Because we were there for 200 years waiting for Jesus to come back. He didn't come back because he wants the Jews back. So now they have to go look for that gold in order to bring the Jews back. Now the Jews are back. And Jesus coming back. Hallelujah.
Woo! Amazing. Dear Jesus, we thank you for this revelation tonight. Oh, my Lord and my God. What a revelation.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God.
Hallelujah.
Praise be the name of Jesus.
Man, that's amazing, brother.
Wow, wow, we got to talk because this is my daughter.
I told you,
And it looked like
he was
close. We're going to get too much here. So in the second one, they were in the back there, and they pulled up. And the reason I knew I was going to invest in him is because the witness said we had come to see the angel handed these two banners on wooden poles, you know, triangular banners, about 18 inches, you know, triangular. The angel handed these two banners on wooden poles for them, right?
And I'm telling Byron, man, that property looks like the same property that I saw in my dream.
Send me some pictures of that.
Me too. Yes. You need to come together.
Who knows, we may go to Israel together, too. I don't, maybe you and I are, two, are the two witnesses, a white man and a black man. That'd be awesome.
That would be cool, man. Yeah. Yeah.
He does. He does. Well, this has been a great pleasure. I know it's getting late, and I'll let you go. Last time I had, when I had, not Brian, but Ty, when I had Ty on, he was actually getting in bed about 10:30, 11. I'm talking to him, right? He's on the show with us, like, right now. And he said, and I said, hey, what's going on? It sounds like you're kind of sitting back and relaxing. He said, yeah, Randy, I'm in bed, man. You're keeping me up late. Did I get up early? I went, oh, man, I'm sorry. And so we kind of had to go our way, but he was literally he was getting in bed to go to sleep because he gets up early.
Okay, so we're okay. Well, I'll let you go, and I can't believe the honor of this.
Yes, we need to get together for sure. You invited me to come see the radio stations in Fort Worth area. I just haven't been able to do anything lately. There's so much happening.
Woo!
I need to, yes. Now I know. You need to show me some things, and I need to hear from you, and I need to hear what God has to say, what he's showing you, yes. We need to connect. We need to connect, for sure. Thank you so much. All right. I love you, brother. Thank you for coming on tonight. This is so precious.
Thank you, sir. God bless you, too. Okay. Okay. Thank you. We love you guys. Okay. Thank you. All right,
y'all. Was that mind-boggling or what? Woo! Dear God. Somebody get their hands up, and I may stay on a little bit longer here, but we just kind of finished up with him, but can y'all believe this stuff tonight? Y'all see what's happening here? This is like, you can't even make this stuff up. This is like,
I'm sorry for the echo on the show. I don't know, we'll some of you guys weren't able to even hear it. Maybe I don't even know, but I apologize because that's the first time we've ever done. That's why I can't do Zoom together with Blog Talk, because it messes up, but Now you guys know why I don't do Zoom and Blog Talk together, because it doesn't work very well. But I tried it anyway, and so I guess I messed up. But anyway, so good. Y'all give me some minutes. I'll be right back. All right. So that whole interview was echoey, huh? Let's go here. 240. All right, 240, are you on? Hello?
Randy, can you hear me?
Yeah. We need to talk a little bit louder.
Go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Just
a little bit more?
Okay, there we go. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know how I got in the host queue, Randy. I didn't hit one, but I called. Nicole said you were still on, Blog Talk after the interview. So, yeah. That was a really good interview. I'm glad you were able to get him on.
Oh, it's amazing. He's invited me to come be on the radio station. He reaches, I forget what he said he reached, but it's a massive amount of people. But
Now, I want to make sure I got this correct. Did he say that the October 7th, your birthday, was also Jesus' birthday?
He was said, that's what he was saying. He said that. I didn't say that right.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. That's what he said.
That's what he said. And he's a very knowledgeable guy. I mean, he's a very knowledgeable. He's a Jew. He knows, you know, he studied all stuff. I've never heard that before. I know that October, that they attacked Israel on October the 7th because it was a feast day, and that feast day was on my birthday, so whatever feast that day that was. So I know that's true. That is a big feast day.
Okay. Okay, yeah, the feast day. Okay. Yeah, that's what it sounded like he said to me, but I just wanted to make sure I was getting that information correctly from him as he said it. Right.
Right.
But I've always heard that Jesus' birthday was between October and April, and a lot of people believed it was in October for a while, but I didn't have that information of exactly why.
Oh, see, I don't think I even knew that. I mean, I know it wasn't December, but there was so much controversy about his birthday that I just kind of like, you know, stayed away from all of it, you know, because like, who cares anyway? He was born, that's all that matters.
Right.
But yeah, so that's pretty, it's pretty interesting. I would like to, however, do some research on that to see, because I knew, see, the reason that something that really messed with me was that I knew that when they attacked Israel on October the 7th, I knew that they were doing it because they were having a feast. There was some kind of, I think the Feast of Tabernacles, whatever the feast was. And that, I know that was on my birthday, so I can say that I know that's the truth. But what feast and saying that Jesus was born on October the 7th?
But you know what, Randy, guess what? All those other things that you had mentioned earlier to him and you have told us for a while, and when you said the Lord told you happy birthday, that might be a wink-wink with the war starting and then saying happy birthday, and then a little more information he brought to you tonight, maybe you share the same birthday with Jesus. I might consider that a big God wink, but I don't know.
Man, I tell you one thing. I knew that my birthday was on a feast day, but I have to say I never really get into that stuff that much. A little bit, I try to learn it, but I'm just, you know, mind boggled by the whole thing. And so, but now he definitely got my attention to where, and I know that he knows. He's a very knowledgeable man. He's not like, he's been around a long time. He's talked to, you know, the prime ministers of Israel know who he is. They come looking for him. They come talking to him. As he said tonight, he's given him some amazing words. He actually saw the red heifer that was born from our friend, you know, and when I prophesied to him, when he called me, because Brian, I never knew who he was. You know, Brian said, you know, you need to call Randy because he may tell you something you might want to hear or something. I prophesied, whatever. So he calls me up out of the blue a few months ago, and I already knew he had the Solomon bloodline, and so the word I gave him from, I told him that Brian told me that, so he knew I wouldn't just, you know, and it all had to do with the temple. And then tonight, the stuff he said about his family, I did not know all that stuff about his family and the gold and his, I mean, the whole thing. Oh my gosh.
He was speaking about the Gaza Strip a lot early in the interview too.
He was what?
The Gaza Strip. He was mentioning a lot early in the when you were speaking with him.
Yes. See, I didn't even know this. I knew that he had because he told me that he sent me the documentation on that he gave the word to the then prime minister. I mean, yeah, the prime minister of Israel, and he told him in front of a bunch of businessmen from Dallas. He said, if you give away land, God's going to deal with you harshly. And like in the old days, you know, when he dealt with kings and stuff. And so, you know, I mean, just right after that, I mean, it was just a few days. He'd already told him he's going to be the prime minister. And what was really amazing about that story of Eric Sharon I'm talking about was that Eric Sharon was a general who had, you know, obviously killed a lot of people and for Israel. And they were, He said, there's no way I can be prime minister because they're coming after me for, you know, crimes of, you know, being a general.
saying I did all these things. There's no way it can be. So it was totally crazy that he would be the prime minister. And then he became that. And then when he became it, he told him to his face with other people around him that if you give away land. And so I didn't even know that he's the one that gave away the land. And he is the one who told him that if he gave away, you know, he didn't know Gaza was going to be the land. But that look what happened. Hamas settled in there. And on October the 7th, they did their thing. That's mind-boggling.
Right. And also, I guess, as you said, that you didn't know either about the Rothschilds and how much money they took at that time either. That was new information for you?
That was all new information for me. No, I didn't have a clue about that. That's kind of like, I said, dude, that's confirmation even more. I already know who the Antichrist is, but that's even oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
he
probably
pretty much
the most
like when he said that he co-signed it. Right.
Yeah, he exactly. And so they did. So what they do is they make it look like they've really helped Israel. But what we know now for sure is that they didn't give anywhere near the money that was belonged to them. They got enough to make them look good, I guess, and then kept the rest of it. If that's not Antichrist material, dude, I don't know what is. I mean, my Lord and my
right.
God.
Right. And again, there is a reason why you got connected with him tonight and the things that were discussed as well. And the new information that you received and we all did. So, right.
Right. And I told him when I was telling him about the Antichrist and the name, because he wanted to hear about the Antichrist because he had preached a message. He said that the Antichrist is going to have red hair. I said, was that because of David? Because that's what I thought, you know. He said, no, it was because of Napoleon or whoever it was. He said, I can't remember now. But, I'm going like, wow, I've never heard that before, you know. So a lot of the information I heard tonight, I heard a whole lot of things I didn't have a clue about. I mean, a whole lot of things. And we've never actually sat down and talked. You know, Brian gave him, the Red Heifer people gave him my name and said, you need to contact Randy. And so he just kind of did it out of, you know, obedience to the Lord. And,
right.
Yeah, so what happened is when he called me up out of the blue, and Brian told me, he said, they're going to be calling you, Randy. They're going to be calling. I'm like, they who? He said, nah, don't worry about it, just they. I said, okay. So sure enough, man, I got phone. I haven't even told everybody, the people I talked to, that he set me up with because it didn't really matter. But you know, that was an amazing, the Red Heifer thing, just happened to know them, and the guy, the Red Heifer guy, who's a diamond guy. Isn't that an amazing story about being a diamond dealer who's always come up with the Red Heifers? I mean, from 2,000 years
both
ago,
of them,
dude.
Like, both of them, you know. And I don't know if you know the exact approximate, you know, way, you know, from your friend's house and where the Red Heifer was found. I'm always thinking that it was 12 miles because you gave the word on the 12th. I could be wrong, but maybe you could figure it out one day.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, remind me of that. That is a good idea. That is a really good idea. In fact, I think it is around that. I don't know exactly what it is, but yeah, I don't know.
And I'm still
know,
looking
man.
At all these things.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. All these things were clues and jewels being dropped just for kind of, I think, you and us as followers, you know, going on, you know, listening to TGN for things to know and kind of put together, you know? So
yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you guys were able to be on. And you know, I kept thinking, you know, he's, you know, my thing, somebody's gonna get to him and tell him that, you know, I have enemies, you know, that are pretty well known people that are enemies of mine. And I'm thinking, somebody probably got to him, he's not gonna get, but he's a tough dude. And, you know, so he's just, you know, so our connection and all the things we talked about tonight, I mean, I'm in such shock. I'm in state of shock right now. I'm sorry. It's like, oh, my God. October 7th thing, like I said, I knew that was a feast
right.
day because of the day that they did attack them. They attacked them on one of their feast days. So I knew that, but I didn't think, you know, it's like a feast. They got a lot of feasts. You know, what feast is it? I didn't even need to think about that. And when he said that tonight, and he said, that's on your birthday, man. I mean, that's the feast. That's the Feast of Tabernacles. That's when Jesus was born. I'm going
and he called it the Torah. What kind of Torah did he call it?
What kind of what?
He called it, it was something of the Torah. What did he exactly call that date?
That's when the Torah was given to Moses, was on October the 7th. That's what he said.
On October the 7th. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. Hey, I'm just hearing this for the first time. I mean, I probably heard it. I've heard people talking about it before, maybe. I don't even know. But honestly, yeah, I didn't grasp any of that. I don't think about everything's on my birthday. Oh, that's my birthday. Hey, happy birthday. You know, I'm not thinking that stuff. I'm just like going, well, God woke me up on October the 7th, and I turned the news on, and he said, happy birthday. And he's like, I knew, you know, he's like, you know what I'm talking about. You were born for this. I'm going, yeah, I know. But, you know, do they have to say October the 7th 1,000 times a day? Is that what are you trying to do? You know, I'm trying to wake you up, boy. Trying to wake you up, Chandler. It's a little bit closer than you even think. And see, I know that it's close. But it's like October 17th being said hundreds of times every day, literally. It's like that's the birthing pains, Randy. They're getting one after the other. And I'm birthing something here. And then when he said all that, then everything he said tonight that I didn't know 90% of that stuff. Maybe 80. I don't know, a lot. And I'm going,
okay.
Like,
yeah, that was funny.
I am in. I mean, I just, I'm afraid to go to sleep tonight, afraid of what I might dream. You know what I mean? Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus.
I always knew it was something going on with your birthday, right, just because, like, you always, like, you know, when you mentioned how everything started on October 7th, and then you still got the word from the Lord when he said happy birthday, but I still think there's more there to uncover. It just seems like that. It's right there for the uncover.
I think you're right. I think you're right, dude. I mean, I really believe that that's got to be right. I mean, see, God spoke to me all this stuff back in the late 80s, that 1980s, and the early 90s, you know. And like I said, I made the mistake of telling some of my loved ones about it, and, you know. And so I learned after that one to keep my mouth shut. And so,
doesn't it say in the Bible that, like you mentioned this before, you being a prophet, your loved ones closest to you, aren't really going to really – believe a lot, like you're an actual prophet for some reason. Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, they can't. Yeah. It helped me understand my wife. It helped me understand, although she knew I was a servant of the Lord, she knew I got a bunch of, she'd always say, man, you guess, she'd go to meetings with me and hear me prophesy over, you know, bunches of people in one night, you know, 60 to 70 people in one night. So, man, you guessed a lot right tonight, Randy. I said, well, thank you. You guessed a lot right. And so even though she didn't really mean it in a nasty, ugly way, that was kind of the spirit of the whole thing. And so it helped me understand that Jesus talked about the family thing for a reason, so that we would understand and know that that's just the way it is, not because your loved ones are bad or evil. Or that was a revelation for me, because I've dealt with a lot of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And I guess you're used to it now, right? So
I think so. I think I have. I've suffered a lot of different things, like everybody's suffered things. We've all suffered things. Mine has been, I think a lot of it has been because of the prophet calling, that it puts you in an atmosphere, kind of a realm of atmosphere that people don't understand you, and they try to figure you out. And in the midst of trying to figure out, they always think of the worst things, you know, most of the time. And I've had to live with that for a long time, going like, what's going on with this stuff, man? What's up with these people? Are they stupid or something? Yeah, so it was really a when he told me I was going to be involved with the Antichrist situation and the two witnesses back in the 1980s, late 80s, I just thought, yeah,
right.
Sounded good to me, hallelujah, you know. But I didn't really believe it, you know. I mean, I believe it. And so when all this stuff started happening, the Lord just said, see, happy birthday, Randy. I'm going like, yeah, I know now, Lord, I know, okay, sorry. Gotcha.
This might be nice, Randy, also, if you're able to have him on, you know, maybe, you know, two more times or however many times throughout the year, you know, another time in the summer and then maybe another time at the end of the year. Just kind of like how things progress, you know, and get
up. We've got to. A great idea. Yes, we've got to do that. That man, and he's such a precious, humble man. I was getting convicted. Like, feeling like an arrogant, pompous, you know, jackass, you know, basically. This man is so humble. And I'm like, God, I want to be like that. Please help me. Like when the two witnesses showed up.
He came
up,
across,
you know,
as very genuine, yes.
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh, please, you know, God. When the two witnesses showed up, and I came under such great conviction in the dream because, I mean, the reverence, awe, and respect that they said, we've come to see where the king, they wouldn't say, hey, man, we've come to see where the king is born. Hey, baby, it's going to be cool, man. Hallelujah. Now they're going, we have come to see where the king was born. I'm going like, woo! That was just like it was so holy. It was so reverent. And I, you know, when I was in Israel, I was asked if I wanted to go see the where the king was born. I said, man, because at that time it was into some Palestinian hands or something. And even the guy told me, he said, it's kind of rough over there. You want to go? I said, nah, I'll pass on it. Just the opposite of the two witnesses, you know. So it's kind of like, yeah.
It's not your time yet, right.
It's not my time. I'm not humble enough. And yeah, I'm still full of it. Still too full of it. Well, thanks for commenting on that. Yeah, that's really great. That's a good idea about the birthday thing. And yeah, there's definitely something else to it. When he said that tonight, I couldn't even – I said, that's when I stopped him. I said, wait a minute. Are you saying that? He said, yeah. If I didn't know he was so knowledgeable, if I didn't know he was so, you know, I mean, this guy is knowledgeable. I mean, he knows, he's a Jew. You know, he knows all this stuff. And he keeps up with it, you know. And he even talks about the reason we need to be involved in it, which I haven't been very much. You know, I hear people talk about it. I always say, well, they're getting way too caught up into that Jewish stuff, you know. I mean, I'm a Jew. They're the main guys. But, you know, when I see people getting really caught up into all the feast days things too much, I think too much, I like going, we don't need that stuff. I mean, you know, it's going to be, and we need to learn about it. You know what I'm saying? That's been my, you know, and I'm not a replacement theology person at all. Not even close.
There was something I wanted to mention to you, and it's good that we're, you know, people that are Christians, but let me just ask you this. You may know this, you may not. Cause I don't think Jesus ever asked anyone to, you know, to be a Christian. He just asked to follow him. Would that be a correct statement?
I think so.
Pick up the cross and follow Jesus. Okay.
Because he was, right, when you believe in him, that is Christianity. That Christianity didn't even become Christianity or called Christianity, I think, till the book of Acts. But, yeah, it was
right,
all
right,
about him.
Okay.
Everything was about him, right. Yeah.
Okay. I wonder. And for this gentleman, does he reside in Israel right now? Was he born there? Or do you know any of that information?
I don't know that information. I know that, right. When he called me after Brian said, give Randy a call, he said he told me he's from Fort Worth and he has a radio station, he wants me to, a satellite thing. He wants me to come and look at it. And so I remember that. So I know he has a house in Fort Worth and he just said he had spent time with Byron. I don't know if he heard that story about Byron or not in the two witnesses. I hope I'm not ratting on Byron by saying this out, you know, to people, but that's what he told me. He didn't tell me not to tell anybody, so.
Okay.
So that's literally what Byron told me, because the property I saw that he showed me, and he said, I have a house or an apartment in, you know, in Bethlehem. I went, what? And so I said, I looked at him and I said, man, that looks like, can you send me more pictures? You know, and he said, literally, I got them on my phone. I said, dude, that's when I called him up, and I'm hollering over the phone. They're coming to your house. Like that. I think he thought I was a nutbag. And then he said, Randy, after I got to shouting to him, not real loud, but, you know, I got loud. They're coming to your house. And then is when he tells me about the 13-year-old experience where God told him he was going to help the two witnesses. I'm going like, what? And here I am shouting to you thinking I'm a nutbag and I'm crazy by telling you they're coming to your house. I'm glad you at least told me so I wouldn't feel like an idiot.
Right.
Because I didn't even know the guy.
Right.
Yeah, I never talked to him. So I talked to him a little bit on the phone when I was at Brian, we went to see the Red Everything for the first time. I talked to him for maybe 15 seconds, 20 seconds on the phone, really, you know, and then Brian says, here's his phone number. I want you to, he's either going to call you call him. I go, okay, whatever. I don't call people. You know, I just don't call people. I'm not trying to, you know, hey, I got a word from God. You know, I don't do that. And so finally, you know, it all happened, but it's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's very interesting how all, like you say, all of this came together, and all through your friend, you know, your acquaintance, you know, Brian, right, who happened to have the red heifer. So
the diamond guy, isn't that an amazing story about the diamond? The guys who provided the red heifer before were diamond people. They were jewels. Just like him. I've known he's had a diamond store for years. I gave him words about gold mines. I don't want to talk too much about it, but you know, I prophesied to Brian. I mean, he'd come up and hand me money. Sometimes people just hand me money because they just started handing me cash. I'm going, what's this for? You know, I don't need anything. I'm fine. Yeah, I got food. He says, see, Randy, I don't know, man. You just take it. God said, give it to him. Okay, thank you. You know, so I prophesied to him and his family. And so that's how I knew him. And so because I had prophesied to him all those times, giving him words about gold mines and a bunch of stuff. That, you know, so when he got connected to all these rabbis and all these people like Barbara Stinson and Dr. Murray, you know, because of that, that's why he tells him to give me a call. Because he wants me to prophesy over him, you know. I'm going like, stop
right.
It, man.
Again, there's a reason for all that, yes.
I thought the gold story was awesome about the Rothschilds. You brought that up a little ago. That was a mind-boggler.
Yeah, I love that one. Again, like you said, the more information we get and we know, everything that you've already said and mentioned, then there's stuff that I found out and other people on PGN have found out about how many banks they own around the world, pretty much more than any other family. You know,
yeah,
and then to find out they stole the money, it's just all making sense.
Well, that's how they got their money, is they stole that money.
Yeah, right.
Wow, that was a shocker. I didn't have a clue about that one.
You said
and
that
the red hair.
You mentioned that the Antichrist, when you were speaking to him, hadn't fully got immersed in Rothschild yet, but you're saying partially maybe already, where I'm not sure if he even knows. And we talked about this last year a little bit. Well, I think I asked you if Nathaniel even knows that he is the Antichrist, because a few weeks ago when you were talking about the other people and you were like, hey, they already know who the Antichrist is, but they were amazed to know that I knew who he was and how they were trying to, you know, maybe bring you on their side.
Yeah. Well, I think that, see, and like telling Robert about it tonight, I mean, about the Antichrist and the whole thing, you know, it's not easy to talk about that. And I kept it quiet for a long time and felt good about it because, you know, they're going to just think I'm crazy anyway. You know, like, okay. Right. So I'm not saying anything. So when I finally revealed it, to me, that was the revealing of it. Well, I think he knows that they, you know, that they listen to me. I know it sounds crazy, and some people don't believe it. They think I'm just, you know, blowing smoke. But they listen to me. They pay attention, and I can't prove it, but I can prove it. That do they?
Right.
Because they heard me. You know, they've heard me talk about that. They've heard me say that. They're going like, yeah, we know Nathaniel. You know, we know Nathaniel. Yeah, and you know what? He kind of has a little. There's something about him, and I don't know exactly, because they don't talk to me, right? They don't come up and say, hey, Randy, you know, we know Nathaniel. And,
all right.
But I get things in my spirit, by the Holy Spirit, and what's happening is the information about who he is, because he's going to be the Messiah, the false Messiah, that
right.
They're all looking for that. So they're thinking about, okay, that guy, and he's had some things right on, and we've heard reputation about him, about the market. He's got some major market stuff right. He's got that's kind of what got me out there with those people was market information about the stock market, you know, detailed information about
right.
that, which nobody could know but only God. So that kind of opened me up to that. And then so little by little, you know, I don't know how to explain it. I had phone calls from people. They wouldn't tell me who they were. Somebody from a big banker. And they said, no. So I think that what's happened is that because they listen to what I say and they know that what I've gotten right about the market, Rothschilds are the bankers, and I'm telling them that's who he is, they're probably going, like, that makes sense, just kind of like Robert Maruri did tonight. You know, and did he preach years ago? He said that the Antichrist has red hair. And I'm like, I said, dude, that's what God told me when I, on the Antichrist dream as I'm waking up. Real gentle. I'm freaking out, right, because I'm seeing the devil, and this is an intense dream. And as I'm waking up, God says, so gently, he says, and his hair is red. I'm like, what? His hair is red? What does that have to do with anything? Literally, God spoke to me just like I'm talking to you. And I went, okay. I went and looked it up. Sure enough, I thought his hair was brown. I thought God was correcting me, just like I said tonight, and he wasn't. His hair is red.
And he
confirmed
you
it
stated,
along the way. So
stated his hair was the color of the red heifer's hair, correct?
Exactly. That is exactly right. Yeah, I thought I sent that to Robert, but maybe I didn't. I know I sent it to Byron Stinson.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who's really involved in the temple stuff. I know I sent it to him because I sent a picture of the red-haired, you know, the actual red-haired, the actual one that everybody thinks is the right one. You know, hang on a second.
Oh.
The one that's actually the red-haired one that everybody thinks is the one, which Robert talked about tonight. You know, we both agreed that's the one he saw being born. It's the reddest one. His hair is dark red. So I saw that picture that they sent me of the red heifer. I'm going like, man, that looks like just like Nathaniel's hair. So I got Nathaniel, a picture of Nathaniel back in his early days when his hair was red. I think he's dying it red now, but back then it was like, you know, young. It was dark brownish red with a lot of red in it. He has freckles, you know, the whole thing. And so,
right.
Get that picture of them, their hair, the hair on that, I'll try to send it out if y'all remind me. Their hair is exactly the
yeah.
same color.
Wow.
I mean, the same
okay.
red, everything.
Yeah.
Mind
body. Very telling, right.
I thought it was. Brian told me, he said, I'm going to connect you with some people. He said, be careful. You can start telling the Jews who's insulting their Messiah and telling them, you know, he's the devil. He said, can you be careful? I trust you, Randy. I go, okay, I'll try not to. But it's like I have to warn them, you know, in the proper way. I have to warn them. Anyway, the story goes on and on, but about how I started
right.
saying, yeah.
But so basically, I don't think that that Rothschild is even aware at the moment right now. I mean, I know we can't really know, but I think he knows what's been going on with his family and probably how his family got his money. But I don't know if he's thinking that he's going to be the one, as you know,
right.
and we know that he's going to be.
Right, right. I really don't know if he does or not. I know he's hearing that I'm saying it.
Oh, you do know that?
No, I can't prove it. I mean, I can't say that I – just from the things that
okay,
go on,
okay.
the things that are said, I can say I can't prove it by documentation. That's why I don't say a
okay.
lot of things that I know, is because I can't prove it.
Right.
But, of course, he keeps up – they keep up, you know. Yeah, they keep up with me,
okay.
and like I said, I got on their list when I started giving words about the market. Well, anytime you're a banker and in the market, you hear somebody's getting words and it's documented, and he don't have a clue about what anything about the market, and he's getting one layer of information after the other in detail. You're gonna be going. Yeah, stupid. These people aren't stupid. Like a lot of Christians are pretty stupid. Yeah. Oh, he got one right. Oh, well. I mean, if you get one thing right with the market in detail, there that ought to get everybody's attention because something's going on. But they don't. Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. Okay, well, he got something, man. He got something. But these guys, they're going like, they know nobody knows that stuff. They know it's real. They know they believe in devils. They believe in prophecy. They believe in the supernatural. So what do they give credit to God through Jesus that I'm getting this? They just think, you know, I'm some connected guy to maybe the God that they believe in, you know, the way they believe in it,
mm-hmm.
which is Jesus.
But when you declared war against Nathaniel Rothschild, was this a few months ago? And you mentioned that a few months ago. And you really were decisive when you said it, too. I think that probably got their attention as well.
Oh, absolutely it did. Absolutely it did. And I already know, like I said, I've known. Actually, I can't prove it. That's why I don't talk about it too much. But the reason I do talk about things I can't prove is because the proof is coming. So if I don't already say it, if I don't already get it out there, then people are, oh, well, you didn't know that. Well, no, I've known it for a long time. I'm finally getting it out there. And so now that I'm getting it out there, the Lord says, you know, when I start doing that, it's not like me to give stuff I can't prove because of my background. But we have to give the information out first so that when it shows up, people go, yeah, man, nobody knew that. How do you know that? God. Only God. So you have to give out. So when I gave out giving the name of the Antichrist was really a major thing. I shook on the inside when I did that September the 12th, 2022, on a Monday. I was like, it was very difficult to do it because I knew that once I tell people, and people know who I am, once I tell people a name,
mm-hmm.
that tags them. That tagged them in a way they haven't been tagged before. So it's not a bad thing. It's not like they're going to go, they enjoy it. They enjoy, you know, they've been talked about for, you know, hundreds of years at the Rothschilds and all kinds of conspiracy. They love it. They sit back and go, yeah, I mean, you hear about last night they said about it? So they kind of mock it at the same time. But when they know somebody mm-hmm. that has gotten market things correct, that's a little bit more of a attention getter for them. So they pay a little bit more attention. And so I think that possibly that they're, you know, they're kind of putting some things together too. I think they kind of suspected that they're going, you know, I kind of think they really suspect that. And they know they're going to take over, but they just don't know exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Call him the Antichrist, if that makes sense.
Okay. And I don't know, Randy, this is going to be a little bit kind of out there, but let me just ask you this. You know about the TV show The Simpsons?
The Simpsons?
The
yes,
Simpsons.
I've
this show's been on for like 25, 30 years, right? So I'm on TikTok
that,
a lot,
yeah.
On TikTok,
yeah, yeah.
And there's a lot of videos around about The Simpsons and their predictions that they've made over the years, and a lot of things have come to pass that they've said, right? Which kind of makes me
right.
kind of like scratch
right.
my head, like, what do they know that we don't know? And then these things,
yeah.
some of these things actually
yeah.
come to pass. But the thing that kind of got raised my eye, and that the one guy mentioned on TikTok, he was like, why does the father on there look exactly like Nathaniel Rothschild's father? Exactly.
No way.
Yeah. I wanted to send
no
you
way.
That video, and I still might, but he made a point of saying he looks the father on the show, or he looks exactly like Rothschild Senior. And I just thought that was like, yes, I have to. You let me read. I'll send you a video on that. I just couldn't believe when I saw that and how they said that. And
oh my God.
I don't know.
How long has that been out? How long has that information been out? I mean, how long have they talked to? When did they start saying?
I'll have to double check on that for sure.
Yeah, give me a date.
There's been several videos about that, yeah.
Thank you, yeah.
But no one said anything about him being like the Antichrist or anything like that, but
yeah.
they were just mentioning, why does this guy look exactly like Nathaniel, you know, Rothschild Sr.? You know, and why do they seem to know so much about what's happening in the world, and why are their predictions, a lot of them, seemed to be coming true from this TV show. And I was trying to find some evidence of how, since the Rothschilds own everything, they're kind of like messing with us, messing with the world in a way like, wink, wink, well, we know this is going to happen. We know that's going to happen. And then guess what? We're going to make them look just like Rothschild's father, you know, in
wow.
the end. So, yeah.
I was not aware of that. That's
yeah.
mind-boggling.
Right.
Yeah, if you could find the date on that, I would like to kind of know when they... When they
okay, yeah, see if I can find that.
Yeah, get a chance, yeah. Wow. Dude. This has been a great...
Randy, a lot of good information tonight, and I know you're going to be talking about it for the rest of the week, which is good in case anybody missed it. Because I think people might
yeah,
want to
well,
know about this.
I think it's very interesting to those who have been listening for a while and heard me talk about all these things. I think that those people are going to be the most. Doc's trying to seal up. I think he's trying to seal up some of our friends from PGN that kind of believe in what we're doing. But they're going like, yeah, you know what? You're going to be doing what? I'm not sure that they're on the same page with me as that at this point. Some of them, yeah. So I think this
okay.
may help a little bit. This may help a little bit to solidify some of this. And because it's really crazy when you start talking about naming the Antichrist and then, you know, Randy's going to do what? He's going to be doing what? Yeah. So it's interesting. I think Dr. Marari wants to tell me some things he couldn't say on the air, but I think he knows good things. He may make me swear to secrecy. I don't know if he will or not. If I can, I'll tell everybody. We'll see.
Well, he said, he got a lot of good information tonight, and hopefully, like you say, throughout the rest of the year and whenever he's able to come on again and you may be able to have a conversation with him and things that he may let you release, God may let you release. I know there's some stuff you might want to talk about today from Thursday. Maybe you might do that tomorrow if you feel inclined. But, you know, again, it's all how the Lord leads you, right? So.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know either. I would love to say everything. I never wanted to keep anything quiet. I never wanted to keep anything quiet. I love to get it all out there. It's my job. That's what I'm called to do, is to tell everybody, not just tell some people. So when I had to keep the Antichrist name quiet, that was difficult. And so but what's happening is new things are happening, and I'm getting a new boldness too, which means that I'm going to be saying things that are going to shock people pretty much, because it's just amazing. I mean, the confirmations, like through the doctor tonight, was like mind-boggling.
Right.
All right.
Whew.
Can't wait.
So, yeah, Randy, that was a great night. I appreciate the talk. Appreciate hearing all this for the last few hours, and hopefully we can hear some more this week about that as well. So I appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, you know, I really appreciate it, too. I appreciate everybody's love. I think God's raised up people that have been a part of this for a while. And I think that they're the, you know, God spoke to me years ago. He said, I'm going to bring you friends that are my friends. And so I didn't have a clue that what that looked like. I think that's kind of what's happening. He's just solidifying our friendship from a holy perspective. And it's going to be awesome to watch.
Amen. All right. Thanks, Randy. I guess I'm about to go to bed now. I got a lot of stuff like you to think about, but you might not be going to bed that easily.
I had all my studio stuff out. I packed up. I got everything out for the show tonight. And then I couldn't even. Then it just didn't. You know. Anyway, it didn't connect. But because we did that every time we do the Zoom has worked before, but I couldn't get it to work tonight for some reason. I don't know. Anyway, okay, you guys, thank you very much. And I guess we'll say good night. Let me see if anybody else wants to say anything. Okay, good night, my brother. Talk to you soon.
Appreciate it. Thank you, brother. And we'll be talking to you later this week.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, anybody else want to say anything or want to share anything about tonight? Or everybody asleep? Everybody going nighty-night?
Okay.